Our first lesson comes from chapter 3 of Malachi. Malachi comes at a time when the people were falling further and further away from being the salt and the light God called us to be. Malachi challenges the people to honor their relationship with God and honor their relationship with one another. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. So I will come to put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive the foreigners among you of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. This is God's word. God remembers. Malachi was the last prophet God's people heard from in the Old Testament. The Old Testament looked to prophets as guidance from God, as we look to the gospel and his word for guidance. In chapter 3, the message from God's messenger, warning, judgment, and hope from a God who remembers. Malachi chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. You have spoken arrogantly against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly, evildoers prosper. And even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who fear the Lord and honored his name. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. This is God's word. Malachi, which means my messenger, is very fitting since this book is full of God's messages and instructions. Malachi wrote this book around 430 BC. The Israelites had returned from exile in Babylon, and Jerusalem had been rebuilt. However, the people's spiritual lives were in decline. Malachi's message comes at a time when the people of Israel had grown complacent in their faith, at a time when they didn't want to follow God's commands, and God was not pleased. One of the messages shared through Malachi, there will be a day of judgment. Malachi is about judgment, and it's a message about remembrance. God says, remember to remain faithful. Remember all the times that Jesus has helped you out of hot spots and tough situations. Remember all the times Jesus has opened doors for you. Be faithful and be grateful to that. Remember to repent. When you talk to Jesus, try not to complain. Jesus is here to help. If you need help, ask the Lord, and he will do so. Repent and ask for strength. Repent and ask for guidance. Don't hold any of the bad things about you over yourself. Don't hold any bad things about anyone else over them. Remember that you are forgiven. Jesus has overcome the world. All of our brokenness can and will be restored. All of our wounds can and will be healed. Jesus is here to help. So remember to be faithful. Remember to repent. And remember that you are forgiven. Jesus is the only way you and I get out of here alive. The Israelites struggle to remember this, and so often do we. We remember what we want to remember. If I'm speaking for myself, most of the times I'm remembering the bad things and bringing those things forward with me in my life instead of remembering all the good things God has done for me and bringing those forward with me in my life. I remember in my youth, there was this corner store that me and my friends liked to visit. For those of you who don't know what a corner store is, it's a mom and pop grocery store. And we look forward to visiting this corner store on Saturday mornings. And it was about 5 of us. But we struggled with sharing with one another. I mean, don't get me wrong. We was a close-knit group. But when it came to sharing candy, I learned at a very young age, money will make you act funny. And I'm not talking about funny, hee hee, ha ha. I'm talking about it changes the way you think and respond to people. So every week, one of us had a little bit of money. No more than a dollar most of the times. And we would head to the store. Now, a dollar back in my day went a long ways. You can buy you a bag of chips. You can get you a few little Debbie snacks, some gum. And you always completed your order with 50 pieces of penny candy. So you have more than enough. On the way to the store, it was always good times, laughing and joking. But you can tell who had the money. That's when the funny acting began. See, while the rest of us was laughing and joking, pockets empty, the one with money was quiet and plotting. How can I keep the most of my stuff to myself as possible? So when we got to the store, my friend bought his candy. Now, we were only about 6 or 7, but I was appalled at some of the excuses my friend would share with me and reasons why he didn't want to give me any candy. It would be like, yo, can I get a piece of candy? Now, as a good friend, I knew the chips was off limits. Little Debbie's, they was off limits. Depending on how your relationship was in the prior week, maybe the gum was off limits. But he had 50 pieces of candy. So I was like, can I get a piece of candy? And my friend would say, I don't know, Roxy. I was planning to eat 15 pieces of candy today. And I was planning to eat 15 pieces of candy tomorrow. I said, oh, that's interesting. If you eat a bag of chips, cake, and 15 pieces of candy one day, I don't know if you're going to be able to eat 15 pieces of candy the next day, but it's your candy, so go on. And I was thinking about eating a couple pieces of candy each day next week while I was at school. You're thinking ahead. That's rather mature of you. I wasn't expecting that. And I was thinking about giving this girl 5 pieces of candy, but you just met her. And I wanted to give my teachers 5 pieces of candy. What? Is this what you think of me right now? This girl you don't even know and your teacher gets 5 pieces of candy? I was in disbelief on where our friendship was at that time. I was disappointed because I knew he wasn't going to share. And I was puzzled. I mean, last week, when we went to the grocery shopping for your mom, I had to help you count your change. And now you're doing addition, multiplication, and division. You're carrying the one all in your head. I'm trying to get a sugar fix, and you telling me about your future plans. How did you grow and develop in this way all in one week? Money will change you. If you found yourself in the same situation with a friend who was unwilling to share, you probably already know what the response I had and the response in the neighborhood would have been. I remember that. I'll remember that. And you couldn't wait to the following week when you had your dollar. And that's what we carried with us from week to week. Not the good times we had playing football with one another. Not the good times we had playing video games with one another. But to see who can hold out from one another. That's what we chose to remember. We remember what we want. And oftentimes, we bring the bad things forward. We do this in our relationship with one another, and we do this in our relationship with God. We remember what we want about God, and then we wander away from God. And we hope he doesn't notice that we've wandered. We speak arrogantly against him. Our actions show that we don't trust him, and we question him selfishly. How have you loved us? Where in my life do I see all this love that you supposedly are giving me, Lord? Where is the God of justice? Why am I always feeling like I'm the one getting abused, mistreated, hurt, neglected? What do you mean I haven't been faithful to you, Jesus? I'm in church every week. What do you mean I'm robbing you, God? I give you an offering every week. Why should I give you my best, Lord? My marriage isn't going the way that I would like it. I can't find a job. What's the point of serving you, Lord? My health is declining. My kids are not listening. They're not going in the way that I trained them. Help me understand, Lord. I look at the entertainers, the influencers, the millionaires, and the billionaires. They're the ones who seem to have it made, and I'm walking around looking crazy. Lord, please help me understand. And this is what our faithful Father says. Don't doubt my love, because I'll remember that. Don't be unfaithful to your spouse or any other relationship, because I'll remember that. Don't cheat people out of money that they work for, or overwork them and give them pennies. God says, I remember that. Don't mistreat foreigners and immigrants and make it hard for them to live. God says, I'll remember that. Don't set up systems that oppress people and distract families generation after generation. The Lord says, don't take my word and misuse it to manipulate, divide, or lead people astray. The Lord says, I'll remember that. Don't get caught up just because it sounds good or it looks better. God says, those who trample my word and trample my people will be the ones who in the end are getting trampled. I'd rather God not remember me like that. Now we have to understand God's memory and our memory, us remembering, is different. The same as God not remembering or forgetting is different from our not remembering or forgetting. See, we can lose stuff. God is all-knowing, so he cannot. But his forgetting is forgiving. His not remembering is showing us mercy. His not remembering is paying off our debt. God doesn't want you to trample his people or destroy them. He doesn't want to remember his people like that. He wants to refine us and purify us. Verse 3 of the blessing says, he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. So, just a side note, some of you came into worship today and was thinking, why are we studying Malachi? Well, just to let you know, Malachi does not come after the book of Titus. Philemon does, I think. Give me a thumbs up if you approve. Yeah. Shake your head in disappointment if I was incorrect, because I should know. So I'm doing Malachi based on an assignment that I have in Hebrew, studying a book from the Old Testament and translating it. How I usually study books, I normally study a chapter before and a chapter after. If it's a short book like this one, I will read the whole thing and study the whole thing. But first, before I understand it in Hebrew, I gotta understand it in English. So when I was reading chapter 3, the first lesson scripture text, when I came across verse 3, he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. To be honest, I didn't know what that was or what that meant. So I started to do some more research. And I came across a group of women who was doing a Bible study on Malachi. And they, too, was having trouble understanding this same verse in their Bible study. So one of the women of the Bible study group said, I'm going to investigate this matter further and report back to the Bible study group the next time we meet. So she got in contact with a silversmith. And she asked the silversmith if she could come and see what he does, explaining to the silversmith why she was coming to spend a day on the job with him, other than she was curious about the process of refining silver. So the silversmith agreed. So when the silversmith started to do his work, he took the piece of silver and held it in the middle of the fire, where it was the hottest. Once the lady observed him doing this, she thought about God and how he sometimes holds us in hot spots, sometimes to the point where we think it's unbearable. Then she thought back again about the verse. He will sit as a refiner of purifier and silver. And then she asks the silversmith, do you have to sit here the whole time? And the silversmith says, absolutely. I have to stay here the whole time. I have to make sure that all the impurities are gone. The lady thought about God again and how he cleanses us of all of our sins. The silversmith added, I also have to stay here during this whole process because I have to pay real close attention to the silver. Because if I leave the silver in here too long, it will be damaged. The lady thought about God again and how he patiently waits and how he will never put on us more than we can handle. The lady thought this was amazing. And then she said to the silversmith, how do you know when all the impurities are gone? How do you know when your refinement is complete? And the silversmith said, "That's easy when I can see my reflection in it." Trials and disciplines are not punishment, but purification. God is more concerned with your holiness than your comfort. Let's remember that God is always calling us to return to Him, to repent and live lives that honor Him. God wants to see you in heaven, the person He created in His image. Verse 16 says, "Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in His presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored His name." God listens to the one who fears Him. He wrote the names down of the Israelites in a book of remembrance and says, "When I come back, they will be mine." Jesus is coming to the rescue. Did anyone ever keep their kids' like kindergarten drawings? Or did anyone's parents ever keep their old artwork when they were little? I see one hand go up. You must be a very talented artist. I kept my kids' Father's Day cards. And recently when I had to clean out my basement because of the floods, I came across some of those cards. And what I love most about those cards is hearing my kids explain to me how they felt about me. God values what we offer, even when it's small. A conversation amongst Christians, you at your growth group, God is leaning in, God is listening, and God is loving it. Jesus is paying that much attention to us. Serving God is never in vain, even when it seems unnoticed. God sees, God hears, God remembers, and He may be taking notes. Malachi is a message about judgment and remembrance, but it's also a message about hope. God will spare those who serve. He's going to show us mercy despite the countless times we turn away. God shows compassion to those who revere Him. God is going to pick you up, build you up, and bless you over and over again. God remembers those who fear Him. God knows exactly who you are, where you are, and what you need. He's paying that much attention to you. This is how much He cares for you. He saves those who believe in Him. You and I don't have to worry about being trampled on. God fulfills His promises. "I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord you are seeking will come." This is the prophecy about John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus. He's coming with grace. He's coming with mercy. He's coming with forgiveness. return to me, and I will return to you. He's coming to restore us. Restoration comes through repentance. True repentance is turning away from sin and turning to God. And God, our loving Father, is waiting with open arms to forgive you, to refine you, and to restore you. Remember to have hope. When Jesus went to the cross, he remembered to take everyone's sins with him. We have a God who lived and died for us, a God we can trust. So return from wherever you've drifted. Jesus is patiently waiting. And rest in the truth that you will always be remembered and treasured by him. Amen.
This podcast is a production of St. Marcus Ministries. For similar content, subscribe to our St. Marcus Church YouTube channel or follow us on Facebook. If you're seeking ways to grow, serve, or give, download the Church Center app and add St. Marcus as your church. There, you can submit private prayer requests, receive weekly news updates, and more. If you enjoy these messages, please subscribe and share with a friend. Thank you for listening, and God bless.